here we go with a very special edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addie.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and very proud to have taken a new route up to Addie's place today. It's a new highway, Stony Trail. It's fast, it was wide open, it was easy to get off. Reminded me of Addie's mom.
Yeah. And it didn't take you very long to get here.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Anyways.
Anywho, well, we just got back from the Scotiabank Saddledome for Friday Night SmackDown here on Tuesday, and we just had a heck of a show now, didn't we?
I'm recording this right after, and we'll talk about that. Well, I guess we'll talk quickly a little bit about Raw, which is a little out of our usual schedule, because it will still be going up on Thursday. So spoiler alert for anybody who doesn't want to know. Listen to us after Friday, if that's the case, but still listen to us, damn it.
Yes. So we want to talk about Raw real quick here?
Let's talk about the SmackDown, go back to the Raw.
Okay, so SmackDown was, well, we started with the dark match, which was Wade Barrett against Bo Rotunda.
Yeah.
So we got to see IRS Jr., Husky Harris's brother.
Yeah. Well, they look so much alike.
Well, facially they do.
If anybody knows about facials, it would be you.
Yeah, you can definitely tell. You could definitely tell. I thought, and he looked a little sticky.
Yeah. There you go. No, it's very strange. Anybody who's familiar with Husky Harris, while they do have a similar look facially, Bo Rotunda is very athletically built.
Yeah.
He's got good potential. In fact, John Cena just recently talked about him being him and Husky being the guys with the most potential, he felt, in FCW and his own personal scouting trip that he recently did down there.
Oh, yeah.
He understands how to work as a babyface very well, understands babyface fire and the psychology of that and how to work up a crowd.
Did have good fire, yeah.
Yeah, he really got that, and he got good expressions, and he did a good job on that. His offense, nothing really original there, nothing that blows your mind. So.
No, exactly. I mean, it's just your sort of typical dark match to see what you had, but that was it, of course.
He was signed, I think, when he was 18. I'm not sure how old he is now, but they signed him right out of high school to see something in him. He will be a star, or at least they'll give him every opportunity to be one.
Yeah. So, no, and then Wade Baird gets a Duke in the dark match.
Yes.
Then we get...
Well, don't forget the highlight is him walking out.
Oh, yes, there was that fellow with the guy with the sign that says, Hey, Wade, learn a real finisher.
Yeah.
And Wade Barrett got right over to the guy. The guy was about three seats deep, and Wade Barrett leaned right in on him and was pointing at him.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
It was great. And then when he came back out for SmackDown, he glared right at the guy when he came out. It was hilarious.
So anyways, on to the NXT taping.
NXT. I mean, NXT was on WWE.com live as it happened, so we can sort of quickly talk about some of the
just the live experience.
Yeah, just the live experience. I mean, Darren Young and Matt Stryker there, no one really cared, obviously.
I was just going to say, Regal was out to do the commentary, got a big pop.
Regal was out, and we were treated with Todd Grisham, Todd Grisham's final WWE performance.
I didn't know that.
He has joined ESPN now full-time, yes.
Oh, so he's joining Jonathan Coachman.
He's him and the coach, exactly, okay. Yeah. So there's a sports center
for
you.
So I guess that's, we'll see Joey Styles in that position then, or?
Maybe, or just Josh Matthews or Scott Stanford, you know, or that Jack Carpella guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of faceless, you know, dummies to take that over.
That's true. So enough about Todd Grisham.
Yes. So anyway, but that's that we said. So Regal and Todd Grisham, of course, yeah. Regal come out after Darren Young saved, and Regal got his big pop there. So that led us to what is it? It was Maxine against AJ.
Just Darren Young got into it with Matt Stryker. Regal came in and made the save after Stryker was getting beat up. Again, another huge Regal chant. He's very over in this market, is all I'm saying.
He was, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, no, I think that after
then it was Trent Barretta and Tyson Kidd.
Talking about being over in this market.
Well, we talked about being over, and we talked about how we're recording this right after the show came off the air, and it's going up then on Thursday. So we're actually live right now because the Trent Barretta-Tyson Kidd match, 6 days long.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good match. I thought it was a three-star match.
Fine match. It just was Trent Barretta and Tyson Kidd for you know, for you know, an hour match.
Tyson was way over. I tried to get some Harry Smith or D.H. Smith chance going, and it had the same reaction as it does when he wrestles.
Yeah.
Didn't go anywhere. No reaction.
No.
But Tyson was hugely over. Loses Yoshitatsu's music plays or whatever.
Symbol-y gimmick there.
Yeah. So then you got that same finish that we never see from WWF that we didn't see on the main event of Raw.
No.
Where the guy's distracted, so he's looking at the screen for 5 hours and then gets pinned by the other guy.
Gets rolled up. Yeah, exactly.
But it's too bad because it kind of was a really good match actually until then. Trent Barreta, worst tights maybe ever. Just a horrible color.
He
on
always
thing.
Has.
The yeah, but also I just never understood. I didn't really notice before because I don't watch Superstars or NXT on a regular basis. It says Trent on the back with a question mark. Does he not know his own name? Does he have an amnesia gimmick?
Maybe.
Or is it just that nobody
he's
knows
the new Hugh Morris?
Or is it just that nobody knows his name because nobody watches NXT or Superstars?
True.
So everybody.
You
want to
go
where
nobody
Trent?
Knows your name?
Yeah, that would be it.
Anyway, that was it. So then we had AJ against Maxine with Derek Bateman in Maxine's corner, Hornswoggle. In AJ's corner, AJ, about 47 pounds.
Yeah. Well, 47 pounds, including the tights.
With
which
the tights
were,
and
yeah,
the boots, actually.
Half that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's too skinny. I mean, it's weird seeing her come down to the ring, seeing these ribs. Ribs aren't attractive. you know, ribs is too skinny. And then huge tits on top of that. So, I mean, kind of gross. I mean, I'd fuck her.
Yeah, well, you would.
But
Hornswoggle stays on the apron as well. I said to you at the time, akin to both Frankie and Matilda.
Yeah. Anyways, AJ loses to Maxine, and
awful.
We move on.
Awful match, but...
let's say this about Maxine. Nah, I won't.
Awful match. But was that it for NXT then?
That was it. That was the main event of NXT.
Yay.
Then we had a couple quick Superstars tapings. Brodeus Clay destroyed a local jobber.
Yeah, he got a squash. And I forget the guy's name. It was like Jason
Young.
Harris or Young or something. And it had powers on the back of his.
Yeah,
his
it said Powers.
Anyway.
Well,
yeah.
Jim Powers was probably there teaching him how to work.
I thought Jim Powers was one of the people that put the champagne on... whatchamacallit there, Born and Kofi there.
Yeah, probably.
So anyway, then we had,
I was just going to say, now that I've seen Brodeus Clay in real life, up close, I mean, big dude, obviously we knew that. For a big guy, really does move very well, very quick, very explosive, athletic looking for a large dude. His offense looked good, so I'd throw that in there.
Big Daddy V has the Michael Jackson skin whitening disease, as I put it to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I didn't understand what you meant
when
you explained it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't funny.
It was. Uh-huh. But now we move on to what was the second? The second match was JTG against Justin Gabriel on the Superstars match. And JTG, apparently people around us were calling him Tinkerbell for some reason.
It's because of that little scarf thing on his left leg with the pants are rolled up.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Okay.
So JTG just... Justin Gabriel trying hard. He was getting a good reaction. The crowd was certainly into the 450. Big reaction for that.
Yes.
But JTG just definitely looks like a guy who doesn't give a shit anymore and is going through the motions.
Yeah.
Just absolutely, you know... Yeah.
Well, and why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's it for Superstars.
Yeah, so cue the shitty Green Day music.
Yeah.
In
other words, cue the Green Day music.
Yes, and then Bret Hart comes out. Well, I like Green Day. It's just that song has, like, one line.
Yeah.
Turns out, do you know your enemy?
I know my enemy.
Know your enemy.
You're my enemy.
Do you know your enemy?
Know
your enemy. Anyway.
No, I knew that. It was
you. So, Bret Hart's music plays. Out to a big pop comes the Excellence of Execution to his hometown.
Yeah, only one pop in the night really arguably would be the same level, and we'll get to that later.
Yeah. And so Brett comes out and announces that Teddy Long was not there. We speculated it's because of drug possession, couldn't get over the border.
Turned out that was R-Truth? No, it was Brian Christopher.
Brian Christopher, that's right.
Well, Brian Christopher was also out of breath when he tried to explain it to
him. That's true.
And that didn't help.
That's true. He couldn't take the breathalyzer because he was out of breath.
He was out of breath.
That's how he refused,
exactly.
So they would let him go. So Brett the Hitman Hart is the general manager for the evening. as Triple H has allowed. And so then...
I first noticed that there was mic problems. I had difficulty hearing with Matt Stryker and Darren Young. It was even worse with Brett. I mean, he was getting somewhat of a reaction. But if it doesn't come across as strong as you'd think on TV, it's not that he wasn't over. It's that he was really hard to understand.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, even when he looked into the camera, he was looking into the camera and he was saying, he was talking about next week's live SmackDown, which Brett said was a one-hour special. So they will have to fix that. He did, yeah. He said it was a one-hour special. That will feature Randy Orton going one-on-one.
Maybe he thinks they're just showing his match with Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 12 or whatever.
Maybe. Or maybe he's going to sit down with Bruce Hart and ask him two questions.
It could be. Or it could be just that he's going to read the foreword to his book.
That's true. 1 hour. 1 hour, though. In terms of, then he said, next week on the live SmackDown, it's going to be Randy Orton one-on-one with Mark Henry.
Yeah.
And then cue Christian's music. Christian
back after a week's absence.
Yes.
Yeah. Christian got a big face reaction coming out, as you would expect, in Canada.
Yeah. He comes out, basically.
It didn't last long. I mean, just the fact that he's obviously going to go toe-to-toe with Bret Hart, and Bret's so over, I mean, the local icon. He was getting a heel reaction pretty quick.
Yeah, it's pretty quick, and he comes out and he pulls something out of his tights, a piece of paper, that he talked to his lawyers, that he's got an injunction for his next rematch clause, which says that nobody gets a shot before Christian.
Isn't this also what Punk and Cena were talking about? Oh, wait, did Triple H not fix that? It's not the Money in the Bank? You can't just cash anywhere the fuck you want?
Well, maybe, but Cena and Punk don't have Christian's crack legal team.
Yeah, apparently.
Jerry McDivitt, man. So Brett then bows to the pressure of the legal team and says, okay, well then, it apparently this is, clearly Bret Hart, being a notary, looks at it and says, well, yeah, nope, this is legitimate.
Yeah.
Nothing I can do about it here, so I guess... Christian, you get your match against Randy Orton, but now I get to pick what kind of match, because if you're going to whine about it, then I'm going to pick a good match. So it's going to be a steel cage match.
Yeah, he said a steel cage match live next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that seemed to confuse the audience a little bit. Everyone's going, next Tuesday, live?
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously nobody knows that, but that is.
Let's be honest here. The people sitting around us, easily confused.
There was an awful lot of dorks there tonight. An awful lot of...
You were there.
But, yeah.
Your people.
There was a lot of people that I'd be ashamed to be in a room with, and I'm sometimes in a room with you.
True.
So, I mean, this was a...
Well, that would be a step down.
Yeah.
Being anywhere but in a room with me.
Oh, okay. I thought just being in a room with you was a step down from anybody else.
No. Well, yeah, it's a step down from deities.
Well, Jesus Christ, is that true?
You can call me Addy.
All right.
But, let's see, where were we? Okay, I'm a god, okay, now.
Yeah. If you're a god, you should remember
on
where
the show,
Mark Henry comes out.
But on the show, yes, and then Mark Henry comes out, and Christian immediately hightails it to the back.
Brett had already announced the main event of tonight was Mark Henry versus Sheamus.
Yes. So Mark Henry comes out and is pissed with Brett. And again, just as Brett was kind of inaudible here, as was Mark Henry. So Christian really yelled into the mic.
That's because he had gone to promo class from Al Matt Johnson.
That's right. But essentially with Mark Henry and Brett, I couldn't really, tell what was going on.
Something along the lines of, I've been here 15 years, Brett, and you know that, and nobody still treats me with any respect.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
That's it, yeah. And then he looked like he was going to go after Brett, and then it's a shameful thing. Dunderhead airs, and Sheamus comes running down.
Sheamus came down, and he was also cutting a promo to
here. Oh, he did, yeah.
It was something along the lines of another fable of somebody who had a black boil on their body that they needed lanced, and it was somehow making this, I think there was something about making some sort of correlation between Mark Henry. What color is he?
Well, it had something to do with, what's the word they used at the end? It was like... castrated it or something.
Something like that.
Anyway,
yeah.
it was stupid.
It was stupid.
And so he was over.
They
started fighting. Well, that limerick thing wasn't over.
No,
then
that
they
wasn't.
Started.
Well, you couldn't hear him again.
Yeah, and so they started fighting and feuding and a fussing, and then Mark Henry goes through the middle rope there and hightails.
Yeah,
it
Sheamus gets the better of him.
Sheamus gets the better of him.
Sheamus and Brett in the ring are being all buddy buddy.
Yeah, and then we
cool.
And then
Sheamus
we,
is very likable.
Yeah, and then we quote unquote go to commercial, and then we come back and
Henry's cutting a promo.
Mark Henry runs back down and cuts a promo and says, "You want some more?" Basically, they had to retape the brawl.
Which is kind of interesting because they had to retape it because it didn't come across or look good to them in the back.
Yeah.
And then they retaped it, and it was worse.
I thought it looked worse, yeah.
And I believe they just said what Mean Gene just gave them some advice in at that point.
Fuck it!
Exactly.
But, yeah, and so that was it, and then they go back to, that segment, and we go to another commercial.
Yes, yes.
And then when we came back from commercial, Christian's music plays.
Yeah, at this point we know it's going to be a match. We didn't know against who. It was a match that I thought was going to be awesome. Match that was pretty good, though.
And, then Daniel Bryan comes in after to no reaction.
No. It's interesting. You're listening to the music, though, live, and, you know, they have announcers saying things like cutting in, saying things like, this Daniel Bryan is the real deal. This Daniel Bryan's legit.
Well, no, that was a video package they played.
Was that a video package?
They played a video package. After Christian went in the ring, they played a video package of how awesome Daniel Bryan was.
Okay. And Daniel Bryan was already in the ring, though. Wasn't he?
I don't think so.
No?
I think, and
okay,
then he came
he
down. He may have, but they played. They did. It was a video package.
Okay.
Of it,
which is good, and it was a fair video package. It's just it contradicts everything Cole says, you know.
Well, yeah, but anyway, and then so they do that the thing, and yeah, and listen, he gets
no
reaction.
About a 3-star match.
First thing to note here is this it from the live experience is that we had someone with Down syndrome sitting in our aisle. And we let her, she wanted to go to the, we were sitting, Mo's seat was actually right against the barricade there, along the side, along the ramp where the wrestlers come down. So she wanted to go in, so we let her, and there was another kid there too that we let, you know, go on there to get the handshakes
so they
or whatever.
Get the handshakes.
Yeah.
More to them than
and,
us.
Yeah, and Daniel Bryan, sort of spotted her, the child with Down syndrome, and immediately, like, went out of his way to, like, beeline and, like, and not even just, like, clap hands, but, like, grasp hands.
And it meant
like,
a lot to her, and it meant a lot to the other kid, too, who apparently had been ill, and because I talked to his mother some, and his story was that he has been ill and it looked like he was going to die young, and has gotten better and now wants to live every life enjoying as much time as he can.
Oh,
he
really?
So you have this individual who had... a very young, he's like, he's like 13.
Wow.
And he's overcome that. And then you had somebody with Down syndrome.
I wouldn't have let him at the thing then. If I'd known that. If he wants to live every day, he's got to learn a life lesson.
Well, anyways, it was kind of cool. It meant a lot to them to be there and be able to shake the hands because we were right on the aisle. And I don't know if you guys ever saw me really on the camera. I kind of avoid. They probably did because how could they miss me?
Well, it's a wide-angle lens.
Yeah, but Addy's definitely going to be. You guys will definitely be able to view Addy. He is the guy with the awesome Owen 316 says, "I just broke your neck shirt."
Well, yeah, basically, I'm the guy there that when you're looking in the crowd and you think that there's like a plant that's going to jump over because they're like, "Who is that?" You know, he's obviously handsome and buff. That this guy's
yep,
a, this
and 92 guy, pounds.
This guy's a worker.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you are a worker.
I'm fucking money.
Actually, tonight I think I was the one who was working it. But,
yes.
Yeah.
Pushing. But I. So Christian and D. Bryan. So had a match.
Yes. At this point in time, we were. You said to me. I think I can almost make out what it is, even though we couldn't hear Booker T, I think we can almost make out what it is he's saying. What was it he was saying during this match?
Did you see that?
Yeah.
But, it's funny actually watching the announcers that you mentioned. I think that was the match where I did watch
them.
Yeah,
you did. And you're
talking
about it.
I could see just Michael Cole, how animated he is. Even sitting at the announce booth, like when you can tell when he's laughing, he's got his head down and you know head in his hands, laughing.
Like he enjoys his job.
And his arms are always flailing around and moving.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny because Booker T, like looking at him, Mm-hmm. You can just picture what he's saying.
Yeah.
Because he looks like how he comes across saying, well, you know, that's what I like. And he sounds so serious about it. He looks serious.
Yeah.
On thing. And then Josh Matthews sounds like Josh, looks like Josh Matthews sounds, just utterly confused.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, but, you know, it was a great match. And
it was very solid.
And Christian wins, right?
It was a very solid match. It was probably, you know, another three, maybe a little bit higher, three-star match.
Was it your favorite match of the night?
No, I don't think so.
My favorite match of the night, well, we'll get there, but after Christian was the Wade Barrett, a quote-unquote match. Wade Barrett comes down, a local guy, one of Lance Storm's trainees, T-Bone.
Mm-hmm. World of Hurt,
yeah. Right. Come down to the ring and basically Barrett comes down, of course, glaring at that guy in the crowd again, as I said, and basically says that he thinks it's an insult that he's got to face this guy, and he just walks out.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah. I guess that's the direction they're going with him, which is interesting because the thing about, I mean, he just comes off the win over Daniel Bryan. Then, by the way, Daniel Bryan loses to him, then loses to Alberto Del Rio, then loses
then
to Christian. I said to you during the match, he should go over here because he has the money in the bank. But I guess Christian's getting
the title shot next
year.
The title shot next
week,
right?
But it's like Daniel Bryan
is
now consistently losing week after week on TV.
He beat Drew McIntyre.
Oh, on Superstars. That's Superstars. Right.
Superstars
in
Edmonton there. So.
So nobody's seen Daniel Bryan win in months.
Nope. So, but anyway, yeah, probably the last time he won was the Money in the Bank. Oh, no, I think he won just in a couple weeks after that.
Maybe, but still.
Against Heath Slater and such. Speaking of Heath Slater, up next was my favorite match of the night.
Which one?
Heath Slater and Sin Cara.
I'm pretty sure this was Hunico.
You thought it was Hunico Rana. I can't tell the difference. I thought it was Hunico because Hunico does. I thought that when Hunico, the one time I've seen him, he did the when he did the flying almost arm forearm thing there, and Mystico didn't do that.
No.
So,
well, the reason I thought it was Hunico, and we probably could look it up online and find out if it was or wasn't, if we care to, but
yeah,
we don't.
We don't.
No, but I just a little bit of flabbiness there that you see from Hunico, and also a little bit taller than I expected, about almost, you know.
Like the Great Khali's height?
No.
Oh.
But then again, that wasn't as tall as I expected either.
Yes.
So.
But, yeah, so he came down and did the trampoline spot there, so we got to see that live. Made it.
He made it. So
and then him and Heath Slater have a match.
I thought he wrestled Chavo Guerrero.
I thought it was his. No, it was just Chavo's fault, this match. So what they do is they go back and forth. So many botched spots. They did to this day, I guess it's this hour at this point, I still don't know what move they were trying to accomplish there.
I have no idea.
I thought it was like supposed to be like a flying head scissor type thing.
I thought it was supposed to be some sort of DDT type thing.
Both times it came off the scene. They did it twice. And then finally, Sin Cara wins with the roll-up. 1, 2, 3, his music plays.
He's getting a good reaction,
yeah,
a solid reaction.
There were a lot of Sin Cara masks in there for $75 that you could buy in the crowd. Then his music stops, and Sin Cara picks up Heath Slater and starts beating on him.
Yeah, we're thinking heel turn because this isn't the real Sin Cara.
Because I was waiting for...
Everybody pretty much where we were.
Yeah.
Looking down the ramp, waiting for the real Sin Cara.
Yeah, Ted DiBiase Sin Cara we're waiting for.
Yeah.
And the thing was...
So Paul Bearer was there.
He was on the video game promo they did.
Yeah.
But the other thing was that it was, I heard a few people, like in our section anyway, it was common knowledge that there were two.
Yeah, it definitely was.
So, and
these weren't the brightest folks.
Oh, hells no. I thought that we were still in Edmonton. But this is thinking heel turn. Well, no, he just beats him up again a little more, does his double lion salt thing. And then gets up, and the ref tells him to go down and cover him.
Then he has to hit another move, and then it pins him again.
Yeah, then
like
he pins
right
him.
Away, and everyone's like, "Hey, beat him twice."
Yeah, beat him twice. More on this later.
And then yeah, exactly. And then at this point, the crowd's treating him like a heel.
Yeah.
He's working really hard to continue to get that face reaction then, playing to the crowd, and eventually they start to cheer him again.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, now, because it was Heath Slater, though. I understand Heath Slater is actually going to be in a new tag team that you said that he's going to be in with Great Khali. What's that called?
He's going to be with Mahal. It's going to be Heath Slater and Mahal. It's going to be Jinder Mahal.
Ah.
Yes, so that's going to be good.
That's good.
So we move on to Randy Orton beating Ted DiBiase in a back and forth again. It went, I don't know if it was an overly good match, but it had some time.
I thought it would be a 5-minute squash. It was pretty much back and forth. And the fallout of this is afterwards,
Orton wins,
and Cody is disgusted at Ted, gets a bag, puts it on his head.
Yeah, he gives him the crossroads, and then puts a bag on his head and leaves.
Yeah.
And so then we go
one of
back.
The things that would at the time that the children who had the special needs next to us, they were really all reaching out for Randy. When Randy comes to the ring, though, I mean, he doesn't play to the crowd.
No.
He walks out and he still acts
he's the
totally,
Viper.
He's the Viper, still very much a heel persona, but because he's cool enough and he's been around long enough and he's facing the right people, he's getting a huge babyface reaction.
Well, there's a few like that. I mean, Sheamus.
Sheamus is more likable. He's smiling.
No, but Sheamus doesn't clap hands either. Sheamus walked right down the middle.
Well, he's being funny, though. He's telling
a good deal. I know, but both, and for his match later, he walked right down the middle. And the only time that the kids there got to, they got to slap him on the back, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
But, as he's bleeding out the back of his head. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, so, Ezekiel Jackson, and I wish I'd be making this up, folks, fought the Great Khali.
Now, they did have a backstage segment where Khali was told how he had to be...
Jinder Mahal was interviewed, and yes. And
there wasn't a lot of backstage. I mean, I think there was a Randy Orton interview backstage. Oksana, the Russian girl, I guess she's the Russian...
Hooker?
No, I think she's... Isn't she the diplomat? The Russian diplomat to America?
She loved Double E?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was basically it. Pretty horrible. Though, I'll say this about her. No, I won't.
Okay. So
I'd fuck her.
Yeah, I know. Ezekiel Jackson fights the Great Khali. Now, Jinder Mahal is from Calgary.
Yes.
So there was a big Jinder chant, and yes. I could actually see as he was coming down, he was he had the "I'm back in my hometown. I'm trying to be a. I'm trying not." I think he probably was bleeding from biting his lip to avoid from having a shit-faced ear-to-ear grin.
Yeah,
you
exactly,
can tell
exactly.
He was just beaming,
yeah.
Being back. But, so Ezekiel Jackson fucking fights the Great Khali in exactly what you think it would be, absolute garbage. And the finish come when Jinder goes to hold Zeke or hit Zeke, and Zeke moves out of the way, and Khali chops Jinder.
Yeah.
And then Zeke, as shitty as this match was, Zeke puts the Great Khali in the torture rack.
Yeah, it didn't last long, but it was impressive.
And
to see still.
It was long enough, and it was impressive enough. That,
well, it just didn't look like it hurt at all from our angle, but it was impressive how long he held him up there.
Well, just
and the, held
yeah,
him.
Exactly.
He had no trouble hefting him up.
No. It was. I mean, reminiscent when Cena would pick up the Big Show for the FU, right? I mean,
yeah.
same. You know, it's impressive. And then AT, of course, that Jinder's pissed at Khali still. So
yeah.
They do that. Next was a really exciting match. Heath Slater comes out, and Heath Slater has a match with Sin Cara.
Of course, it was short.
Take fucking three.
It was really short, though.
It was.
I'm not talking about the match. I'm talking about Sin Cara.
Oh yes. Oh, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. We're like, what?
How do you think the Mexicans feel about always being the last ones to know it's raining? That's got to suck.
Yeah.
So they're not tall.
What about a Hornswoggle?
Oh. Is he Mexican?
See.
Anyway.
Oh, my God. So.
Well, Hornswoggle's taller
because
he's up on the apron.
You know, take Trace here because, holy shit.
But basically what this was about 1 minute of Hunico or Mystico or whoever the fuck it was coming out and just hitting high-flying, impressive moves after impressive
well,
moves
what he
in
did,
a row
he,
on
yeah.
on,
and the
on
finish
later and then getting the pin.
And the finish was similar to the second finish of their three finishes,
yes.
Where he did the double line, so he just did it better. Because
yeah.
the second time he did fuck that up anyway. Highlight of this third match was Heath Slater leaving and turning to the crowd and going, "I'm fucking money."
That was awesome.
And we went, "Oh, good, that's PG." to which he said he was fucking money, and of course my thought was against their will.
Yes, yes.
So,
no kidding.
But
no kidding. Shouldn't his new what's his new finisher? I heard he's coming out with a chokehold.
I think he's gonna he's gonna use the choke. I think he's gonna use the guillotine.
It'll drag them to the middle.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. But no, I think so. Anyway, that was there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 matches here.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them were Sin Cara and Heath Slater. It was the third of the night there.
And let me tell you, the third time he came out,
not the charm.
No, the reaction.
Was
leading,
that when the Tabor
like,
Corn chant started?
It might have been.
Because
give people a quick history on Tabor Tour and Corn, because that's not
well,
quite, twice.
It was discovered by the natives in. And they called it maize. No, Tabor Corn in was it 2005? I don't remember the boring ass match that was on.
Tabor's a city
just
about an hour outside of Calgary.
And they grow a lot of corn there. Locally,
yeah.
they're famous for their corn.
Yeah.
So in the fall here, in the fall here, it's you know the truck sides or the grocery stores, they all sell the Tabor Corn, right? So somebody had a Tabor Corn sign. In the crowd there, and this was, I think, 2004, 2005. I believe this was the, in the U.S., it was the Memorial Day weekend. Nothing here in Canada for us.
Maybe,
it was like May 18th or something, if I remember.
Yeah.
The main event was Muhammad Hassan against Batista.
Yeah.
Somewhere, I don't remember the match, but the crowd began, some people in the crowd began
well, they're
to
so bored,
Tabor
they started,
Corn.
They
yes.
started entertaining themselves.
Tabor Corn. And then
this
so
huge, it got
and,
over
and it,
huge.
All whatever was there. And back then it was probably
Tabor
about 15,000, you know,
yeah.
people that were there.
Of course, there was probably about 6,000 there tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was a loud crowd, but only about 6,000 people.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so that is Tabor Corn. So we got a small Tabor Corn chat, not nearly as big or boisterous or even, you know, had
it
half.
One of two, though,
had
both
half
times,
the crowd.
People laughing, some people
it was
knew
just
what it was.
Laughing. Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I mean, this was the third time that they did this match, so I mean, they deserve to be mocked, and Sin Cara, of course, got openly mocked when he was standing at the thing, so that was funny. So then that's where we got the Randy Orton promo next, backstage, just saying that he's taking his title, all he has left is his dignity, and inside the steel cage, he's going to take that. So,
and you know what, if you're going to have a blow-off match on free TV, on that live SmackDown, the steel cage.
Why not the
good.
Cage, exactly.
Yeah,
right?
And that way you don't have to have the Hell in a Cell between
yeah,
them.
No, why would you want to do that?
No.
So then it's Sheamus and Mark Henry is the main event. Sheamus wins via count out.
So 1-1 via count out. This match was shit. The post match
was
good.
Shit. The post match was all right with the steps basically it ended with Mark Henry doing the world's strongest slam outside onto the steps, mm-hmm. and then standing over Sheamus, who was bleeding out of the back of his head.
Yeah,
and that's how the show is going to go off the air, I would presume.
Yeah, it was a lot more intense. It was pretty good at the end there. That. Yeah, exactly. Then, what was it? You had, who came out next? Was it
Hunter,
that's right.
Heath Slater didn't come out again, did he?
Well, probably. He's probably out there again
I think he's probably doing it right now. They're going through it.
Yeah, well, he's fucking money.
Yeah, he is fucking money.
Nobody can doubt that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
maybe he's
going to
steal Ted DiBiase's music, eh? I'm fucking money. I'm fucking class.
Yes, yes.
I'll rape that woman. Choke her out her ass. I don't know.
No, yeah, right. I'll rape that woman and fuck her in the ass.
Okay.
Yeah. I just brought a little class to this show.
We totally did. Huh. Yeah. We talked about all the people around, right?
Yeah.
Okay. anyway,
Mostly people couldn't spell ass.
All of a sudden, so Sheamus leaves, and all of a sudden, Time to Play the Game.
Yes.
Airs, which, you know.
Massive pop. Massive pop.
Massive pop. It said rivaling Brett's.
Yeah.
You know, because, and I think because no one expected Hunter to be there.
No.
In order to show it to come out. So Hunter got the...
I think a lot of people didn't realize it was off-air yet and were thinking that it had something... And it was an off-air segment. But it had something to do with the Sheamus and Henry thing.
Well, it didn't matter. I mean, it was the fact that it was a surprise. He come out. People were excited that he was there. And then he got the... After the surprise pop, he got the he's fucking Triple H pop. So it was prolonged and lasted, and Hunter knows how to milk it and do it nicely. So, you know, and he says, wow, I love Calgary.
He's fucking Triple H pop.
You know, yeah.
Slater got the he's fucking money
he's
pop.
He's fucking money pop, yes. But Hunter got the, you know, yes. And then it ended up, then he'd get the fucking Stephanie pop, but that's all right.
Slater would like to do that.
Yes, yeah, Slater would.
Just get a hold of her.
Yes, I know. They'll show her. But job me to Sin Cara three times in one night.
Don't you know I'm fucking money?
Don't you know I'm fucking money? But that was tremendous. But so then Hunter milks, I love Calgary, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
All because of all you. And
Exactly. One of my favorite places to be, Calgary.
Yeah, and we got to have Bret Hart back out here to be the referee.
Well, Bret do a great job as the, didn't Bret do a great job as the general manager tonight? You know, one of the things actually I did think was strange was Bret comes out there, he's the general manager. He didn't really do anything. I mean, the match, he already announced that there was a match between Mark Henry and Sheamus and... you know, I guess he agreed that that Christian was getting his match next week, but he didn't show up again. There was no backstage segments. There was the actual role of general manager that Teddy Long performs. Bret, in his role, did not really perform any general manager duties in the night.
Duties. But what, let's get to that, because Bret Hart then gets to come out and be the referee.
Yes.
And then it turns out he sat on a chair at ringside while an actual referee was in the ring,
yeah.
And Bret was quote-unquote... They
had a street fight. And that was probably actually my favorite match of the night. It was
they
short,
didn't
but,
say anything
but,
about him being an enforcer. They said he was a ref, so he just assumed he'd be in the ring.
Christian,
but then,
Christian fought Randy Orton.
Orton, yes. And
like,
Christian comes
good
out...
chemistry. It wasn't long, but it was a street fight. They had the candlestick. It was intense. But what happened with
Christian that. Comes out and his music plays and it immediately cuts off and he's got the mic again and of course he heals the crowd and he does just I liked it because it was an old school, like I was just laughing at everything, you know, and watching the people, you know, and he's like, you people don't want to see a street fight, do you? And they're like, yeah, we want to see a fight.
No, you don't want to, I think Calgary's had enough stuff happen here tonight.
Haven't you? Boo. Yeah. No, we haven't had enough stuff.
Exactly.
Like, you don't want to see a street fight. Yeah, I want to see a street fight.
Well, you're not going to see one because I got a match next night and I've already ruffled here once tonight.
Yeah, and now you can. And
nobody can make me.
I'm from a real town, Toronto.
Yeah,
and then we have the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he's like, I'm good friends with Dion Phaneuf, he says, who used to play in a local Calgary team. I love that, though. He
found a Toronto Maple Leaf fan who was wearing a jersey and stuff.
Well, at one point, he, I forget, somewhere in the night, they tried to play against, maybe it was Christian, I think he looked out and he was trying to see, you know, like he was from Toronto and he loves the Leafs or something.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, not really doing his homework and realizing that people in Calgary don't actually care about the hockey team anymore. I think he was expecting at that point a big Go Flames Go chant.
Maybe.
And there's just no passion for the Flames anymore.
They've talked about killing the town.
Yeah, they've killed the town. So, I mean, the people still go, but nobody gives a fuck.
No.
So, it's quieter
But the Toronto Maple Leafs thing, people still hate Toronto. So he got that reaction
it's
at the
quieter,
end.
A Calgary Flames game really is quieter than a Daniel Bryan match, though.
Well, that's because neither one of them is money.
That's true.
Fucking money.
Fucking money.
That's kind of... That's never going away.
And no, it is not. No, it is not. But especially since he was like right in front of my face when he
That's
said
awesome.
It. Like I was literally.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't even hear it because I was busy. I was over at the other end of the aisle.
I was literally
other stuff.
I was literally like I don't know. 4 feet away from him when he said that. I was just laughing. Because I was trying to say, I just kept saying, I said something like, you know, something about a woman against her will.
Yeah, yeah.
What I was getting him on that about. But, yeah, that was fun.
That was fun.
But so Randy Orton beats Christian
in
the dark match.
Well, Christian says nobody can make, Bret Hart can't, these fans can't.
Oh, yeah.
And Tundra comes out, hits him from behind, and throws him into the ring so that the match can start. And like I say, you have a pretty good match, right? I mean, back and forth. Finally, Orton hits the RKO, gets the Duke, and then after the post-match, you know, he leaves. He's slapping a few hands on the way out. It's a dark match, so now he's able to play to the crowds a little bit more than what his character does during tapings. And so he's able to do that. He came over and slapped the hands, went out of his way to slap the hands of the children that we are talking about that we had placed in our seats there to be so they could be at the aisle.
Yeah.
And, you know, then Brett and Christian have a little interaction in the ring.
Yes, yes. And it just ends up going, you know, sort of just a back and forth. Brett really doesn't say anything. It's just Christian, you know, going on and on and on. I think that's what he was trying to get the Go Flames Go chant.
Yeah.
And then Brett smacks him and puts the sharpshooter on him.
That got a massive pop.
And that got the massive pop. And then the show ends. And Brett goes all the way around, signing some autographs, shaking some hands, and leaves. And Brett was another one that went out of his way both times he came down the aisle way to shake the hand of those children as well. So that's how it ended.
Yeah,
and then, of course,
so
they thank us for coming.
So, I mean, they didn't rip off the crowd. I mean, they gave us the post-match. They gave us all the full production. I mean, in-ring, there's nothing that stands out. There's no promo that was great. It was fun being there live.
Christian and Brian are going to be the best match, of course. I don't think that's going to be a surprise to anyone. Basically, what you thought would be good
and
solid.
The Tremperetta and Tyson.
Well, that
was
on Superstars.
Yeah, that's the other highlight match of the night, though.
I think those
two matches are about the same level, actually.
Yeah, but people will see one of them.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So, but that's the thing is, you know, what you thought would be good is good, which thought would be solid, which you thought would suck, sucked. And just largely a paint by numbers, you know, what are we going to be 4 weeks away from the pay-per-view? The big hype was for the live special next week.
Live special next week. And the thing that I actually took away from this is going to this taping in person, I'm very, very hard.
As opposed to going via video conference?
I should have done that.
Yeah. Right.
But going to this in person, for the first time in actually quite a long time that I've been to a taping, it's been several years since I've been to a taping. It might even be 2003. I think it was Edge versus Angle or something like that.
In the
2002.
Cage.
In the cage. It's a long, long time ago that I've been to a taping personally live. So
I don't think we've had a SmackDown.
Not a SmackDown, but we've had a couple Raws.
We've had Raws, yeah. Raws are a little different because of the live atmosphere. I mean, you're not going to get 17 Heath Slater Sin Cara matches on a live Raw, you know?
No, which is a shame because he's money.
He's fucking money.
Maybe that's why they kept putting him out there. Maybe they're actually going to show three matches because he's fucking money.
I hope so.
He can push the ratings.
I hope so.
Then they can charge more for advertising.
But if he has more money, you know, he's just going to get sued for more.
That's true. So. Anyways, having gone now and seeing these kids and how much some of these performers meant to them, the John Cena, even though he wasn't there, the Rey Mysterio, and just seeing these kids. I'm very, very hard on the WWE. I'm always complaining about the characters and then the presentation and the angles, and I get pissed off with them so easily. But maybe what I think doesn't matter as much as I'd like to think it does. I mean, it probably won't last long. I'll probably get pissed off again, but it just kind of softened me on my stances, a lot of the vitriol that I often feel towards the WWE. Because, you know, I mean, this what it's really about is, as trite as it is to say, tonight they actually put smiles on people's faces.
I was just about to say they put smiles on people's
faces. They really
faces.
Did, though. I mean, you know,
yeah,
and that's
yeah.
that's the thing. And it was
not a lot of teeth in those smiles, but
no. We didn't say they were, anyways.
Pretty.
But yeah, so
well,
that's it. And I enjoyed the night, but you know, I mean, not a SmackDown to go out of way to see,
but
live.
They've gone to the kids. You know, a lot of kids there.
Mm-hmm.
Is what it was, you know.
And
so,
for them, it meant a lot more for them than for me, and that's fine. I think I got that fair perspective.
Yeah.
Let's really quickly here, go on to Raw.
Yes, okay, so we'll go on to Raw. You liked it, I didn't.
Yeah, pretty much.
In the meantime, and in between time. Oh, yeah, I mean, I liked Punk calling Nash Big Lazy. I thought that was funny.
It was funny.
And, yeah, that was the highlight of the show for me.
I mean, I liked Morrison I thought Morrison and Del Rio had a solid match.
Yeah, but
I thought the main event between
here's
Punk
the thing
and
with
Cena
Morrison
was
scary, and Del Rio. Here's the thing with Morrison and Del Rio. It's a solid match, okay? We come out when we start the show with Alberto Del Rio come out, and before, you know, my name is Alberto, right, and then John Cena comes out, right?
Yeah.
And then Punk, and then he asks for his rematch, blah, blah, blah.
And then Punk finally came out.
Then Punk comes out, and he wants his rematch, and the two of them start kind of going back and forth, and it's like, hey, third wheel, as
yeah,
John Cena calls
him.
So you got a fucking, so what you basically have is, you've got someone that's being positioned, even though he's got the belt, as not being to their level.
Okay, but here's a couple points I'm going to make. Number one, even though they said third wheel and this and that, and only one man is at my level.
They didn't play this and that.
What's that?
They didn't play this or that.
They didn't play this or that?
No.
Next time.
Okay.
One of the things that they've done with Del Rio is he's got the belt, and since then he's beat Morrison clean, he's beat Ray clean, he's beat
D. Bryan
clean. He'll probably... Like they are consistently giving him mid-card to upper mid-card guys, and he's going over clean on TV on him.
And he's Mexican.
Way more Mexican clean, not a dirty Sanchez?
Nope. Clean Rodriguez, or clean Del Rio.
Oh, shit, we're going to be in so much trouble someday. you know what? The one country we don't seem to get any downloads is Mexico.
There you go.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Anyways,
but
yeah, I mean that's what they didn't do with Miz. That's something.
Well,
really
yeah, okay. So he's got more wins than Miz did his entire run. I'll give you that. But
or Ray did his entire run. Or
yeah,
you know, I mean,
but I don't know. It's like Alberto Del Rio.
Another
woo!
Thing is, if I'm
Alberto
gonna watch
Del fucking Rio,
that's my other point.
John Morrison. Woo,
okay, but who cares about my
that's
point?
That's my point.
No, my
that's
point.
That's my point.
But,
who cares?
Okay, I know you're saying who cares, but well, let me finish my point.
No,
I'm not who cares about whether or not it's
I don't
an important match.
Point. I hate your point.
I care about whether or not it's a match that's three and a half stars. Because if I'm gonna watch, I want to watch. I want to watch some fair wrestling. I mean, it's the same thing as Daniel Bryan versus Christian. Who really cares?
Maybe
but
horse
I mean, wiener. Hopefully you're gonna see a good match.
Not much
if I'm gonna watch Raw. I'm going to try and see
for the wieners.
Enjoyable wrestling involved as well. And that match was fair. And same thing,
the
main event was better than the SummerSlam match between Punk and Cena. Very good. Shitty ending because Nash just walks out and you know, he turns his back and he can no longer concentrate. And the hero, John Cena,
sometimes
basically takes advantage and does jumps him from behind as soon as
he
turns his back. And
I mean, what?
Are we still recording?
I don't know. I thought I was just, what were you saying?
This is good radio.
I'm not even paying attention.
No, I'm just saying John Cena did something, he took advantage of somebody else helping him win against Punk, and that's kind of against this hero John Cena character, I thought, a little bit. But a really good match, more like Miz and Morrison, or Miz and Truth were awesome. Truth's new rap was awesome. That was great. I thought I enjoyed the Triple H match.
I like the setup of Miz and Truth together.
I love that.
I do like that pairing, and of course now you've got them to go against Kofi and Evan Bourne.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I presume that
exactly.
That's
and then from there you bring in Kings of Wrestling.
And then from there.
Yeah, so I mean you have
yeah, but,
some,
I mean, so
some
yeah,
stuff shaping up.
You've got that.
Yeah, exactly.
But And what else did you have? The Nash thing.
And even them talking about, even the way they were talking about the bland McGillicuddy and Otunga, I thought might be leading to an angle for them.
Oh, it is. In Florida.
Maybe. We'll see.
It's...
Oh, man, I mean, maybe it isn't. But it just to me, it came across that way. I still like Beth and Natalia together, Natty. I enjoyed the Triple H and
Did
Nash
we talk
thing
about
because...
We never talked about Kelly Kelly tonight.
Oh, that's right. She also beat
Tamina, yeah.
She also needs a sandwich, not at AJ level, but
no,
fuck's sake.
No. She could
ribs
have a,
are not attractive.
She could have a 6-inch sub where AJ would need a 12-inch sub.
I got 12 inches for both of them.
Yeah. Did you buy that at Subway?
I got it from Miz.
From Miz. Yeah, I bet you did.
He sold me on it.
I bet you did.
All right.
Mo got 12 inches from Miz.
Yeah.
Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com.
I'm not even. Anyway.
Mo's going to be starting. He does We Talk Comics. He does We Talk Wrestling. He does We Talk Fantasy Football. Coming up next week, Mo is just going to be by himself on a solo podcast. We Talk Fleshlight.
Those are awesome. Yeah, anyway.
That's who you got from Miz.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Miz sold me on Subway and then sold me on Fleshlight.
There you go.
There you go.
And Jared was involved in both transactions.
Yes, Jared was.
So.
But he was
anyway,
just there to handle the money.
That's true. He was there to handle. But we've got that. We've got Punk and...
Punk, I just want to say Nash and Triple H... The storyline of who is really behind this and whatever, they're forwarding that in a way that it's not so obvious, and there's a little intrigue behind it, and maybe it's not something I care about a lot, but I think they're doing it right at least.
Well, the reason I think that they're doing it right is because, yesterday they made it seem like Johnny Ace was the guy.
Yeah, Johnny,
right?
and Johnny Ace was actually pretty good again on this show.
Yeah, and Punk flat out came out and said, he thought it was Stephanie.
And Jack Tunney,
yes. From the grave. Jack Tunney. Part of me was like, yeah, Jack Tunney. And I'm like, oh, he's dead. That's kind of...
But it is that soap opera writing.
No, but the thing with me
thing.
Is
it's
it...
Okay.
Is, but the also, the other part of it is when you think about and you look at Vince's history's track record, is that when someone says it's this person, it's not.
No, exactly.
So,
but they said it's everybody now.
Exactly.
So who is it?
So is it Foley? Is it who is it? Right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's pretty good. Only problem I'm gonna have.
I think it's Aurora Rose.
It should be.
Yes.
Can she text yet?
Probably.
She's like 8.
The kids nowadays.
Yeah. I think that Night of the Champions isn't going to be the greatest card, but, I mean, I don't think they're doing a bad job building it. I thought it was a very entertaining Raw. I think the crowd was extremely hot, and that helped. I enjoyed Raw, and my only issue...
I did my favorite part of Raw, though. I forgot my favorite part of Raw.
What?
When they threw John Cena's T-shirt back twice.
That was awesome.
That was tremendous.
That was awesome.
Because it hit him.
Yeah.
Like, they threw it, and they literally, like, threw it right back, and it, like, hit him in the shoulder.
Yeah. Well, what was great was after it happened twice, and Del Rio's sitting there ringside
going,
watching.
Back,
he's like, throw it one more time. He was enjoying it, laughing his ass off.
Oh, who wasn't? Punk's like,
yeah.
They got the great face.
Because then
like,
Punk throws his out, and it doesn't get thrown back, and he just kind of shoots a little look.
Yeah, he just doesn't grin. I like mine.
That was great stuff. So, yeah, no, I like I said, I don't think you're going to see a great Night of the Champions, but, I mean, they're going the right direction. The only problem I have is that they are leading. It's pretty obvious. I mean, Del Rio versus Cena, I don't want to go out of my way to see it, but it is what it is. I always knew it was coming. The shitty thing is I don't want to watch Nash wrestle a match.
See, and this is where we differ, is because my morbid curiosity has got...
It's kind of like when you pass a train wreck.
Yes. I am more interested, but I want to see CM Punk and Kevin Nash more than I want to see Alberto Del Rio and John Cena.
Well, that doesn't
take
much.
Because I don't know, it doesn't, because I don't give a fuck about Alberto Del Rio, as I've said. And John Cena, you know, he may as well be Jinder Mahal's next tag team partner, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Okay, because don't need to see that again. I mean, I realize it's going to happen. He's going to be in the main event, but I don't. That doesn't mean I have to pay for it.
No, that's true. And Cena. The thing is, Cena versus Del Rio will be like a 2.5-3 star match, somewhere in that range. But the build itself, I don't give a shit about. Whereas the build itself between Punk and Nash is great, but the match, oh my god, I don't. I might want to watch Jinder Mahal wrestle instead.
No, I want to see this. I want to see how is Nash not going to sell for Punk, and how is Punk going to get around it?
We don't know yet whether or not Punk is going to lose or Nash is going to lose. I guess we'll find out by whether or not...
Oh, Nash will lose.
No, I think we'll find out by whether or not Nash actually passes that physical.
If he has a heart attack or something.
Yeah.
But, no, you know what? Nash will lose. I mean, Nash has lost before, but
really?
Yeah, Nash has lost before, but...
Clean?
Yes, Nash has lost before.
For a small guy?
Yes, Nash has lost before. When he gets over...
Oh.
And you heard him on the promo when he told Hunter he's not here to put people over. I'm like, yeah, no shit. Okay, so it's the same old Nash.
No shit.
But I mean...
Also the intrigue, you've changed Hunter and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, it's okay.
You've changed, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You used to be cool.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God.
All right, so I think that's it about
and new tag champs.
And new tag champs. Kofi and Bourne.
Kofi and Bourne.
Like I said, that leads to Truth and you can get Truth and Miz versus them, and that's cool. And then you can have, like I say, bring in the Kings of Wrestling.
Have them go over on the
Usos and build them up. And, yeah, I mean, maybe they're building a little bit there.
Yeah. Ted DiBiase and Heath Slater. Fucking Money Incorporated.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. High five. All right. I think we're OUT on this one.
I think it's...
No
it's,
Hogan bullshit of the week because we did all this.
No,
it's very late.
It's pretty late and we got to work tomorrow. So, we did want to mention, too, one of the things. We're getting a revamp on the website.
This is very important,
Starting probably next Monday, whatever day that is, the 29th of August, for probably the most of the week, if not the whole week, we're going to be doing an upgrade on We Talk Wrestling, so the website's going to be offline. We're still going to host the show off Podomatic, and we'll tweet it off Podomatic so people can find it. So we've got the show will still be out there. It's just the website itself will be down. So that's what's happening there.
Yeah. So all the contact information like that you can find off of the Podomatic website as well.
Oh yeah.
And
listen on the show because it's as I said, it's Mo at We Talk Podcast. com for Mo's email, Addie at WeTalkWrestling.com for my email. We're still at WeTalkWrestling for Twitter, so that hasn't changed. It'll just be, as I said, the WeTalkWrestling.com website that'll be out of commission for about a week there. So
and then when it comes back, it'll be better, and we'll work on some cool features and,
with more fiber.
And down the road, if we're starting to get some requests for iPhone and Android apps, and so we'll have to have somebody look into that because people seem to want that.
Yes, that's a convenient thing that I know nothing about. So yes,
we'll have to get somebody on that. But it may be a little while coming.
I'll get on your mom. You get on that.
I'll get off your mom to get on that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Roll off.
So like I say, it might be a little while, but don't think it isn't on our radar. That's all I'm saying. So.
Oh, yeah. We'll get there. But anyway, so that's it. In the meantime and in between time, that is it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.